Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung. So glad to have you join us as we take a look at the book. Of course, the book we're talking about is the Word of God, the Bible. Our subject as we study together at this time is going to be angels and prophecy. Sound pretty interesting? Indeed, angels and prophecy is a very interesting subject. In fact, the most used word in the book of Revelation is either angel or angels. Those two words together make up the largest usage of any word in the book of Revelation. Well, we'd like to have you study with us about angels and Christians. You know, we have a special relationship with angels. We're going to study about that, and I'll come back in a moment and tell you how you can get your own copy of Angels and Prophecy. It's a 5-hour audio series on CD. We'll tell you how to get it in just a moment. But right now, get your Bibles handy. Let's study about angels and Christians.
Look over at 1 Peter chapter 2 just for a second. A very familiar verse as it relates to Word of Life. Your no grows show. If you remember the founder of Word of Life, Jack Wertzen, how many times have you heard this phrase brought to your attention? 1 Peter and chapter 2, and verse 9. Now let me show you something very interesting. Jews having been set aside in the plan of God to bring redemption through missions to this needy world. Verse 9. But now here he's speaking to Christians. Here he's speaking to believers. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Almost sounds word for word. Exodus 19, they were a peculiar treasure, a people above all people, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Here, you are a chosen generation, same as a people above all people, a royal priesthood, similar to a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, the exact same phrase, a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure there. And what was the purpose that he makes us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people, a peculiar people? What is the reason? Look at the rest of verse 9. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have the responsibility of carrying forth the story of redemption to a world that needs him. But he doesn't set us out here by ourselves to tell us to do that. He says, okay, I know you're going to need assistance. I'll empower you with the Holy Spirit. But in addition to that, in fact, that's what he said. Last words of Jesus Christ on this earth. What did he say? I want you to tarry here in Jerusalem till the power comes. Then I want you to go to Jerusalem, start first. Then Judea and Samaria. Then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Then he departs. Last word on earth, he says, go out there and win people. Take the redemption story, go out there and do it when you have the power. But in addition to that, he says, not only am I going to empower you with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to dispatch legions of angels to be your fellow servants. Angels? Are you starting to get mystical on us, Jimmy? No. I'm going to be biblical with you. Look at Revelation 19. I want to show you something. If you don't believe what I say, let me just take you to the Word. Can't deny that. Revelation 19, verse 10, just prior to the return of Jesus Christ, the revelation, back to the earth, where he plants his feet on the Mount of Olives, sets up his kingdom. Revelation 19, a look at that marriage supper of the Lamb and the marriage of the Lamb. But we get to verse 10. John speaking, John the Revelator, having received this message from an angel. Chapter 1 says, through an angel I send this message to you. Now look here, verse 10. And I fell at his feet. At whose feet? The angel's feet that was giving him the message. I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. Angels dispatched out of the heavenlies to be co-equal partners with us in the redemption plan. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God. Look over at chapter 22. Chapter 22, verses 8 and 9, he says a similar statement. It's at the conclusion of all the message. Jesus is going to say, "Behold, I come quickly in just a moment." Well, he has already said it in verse 7. He's going to say it in verse 12. He'll say it in verse 20. But look what he says in verse 8, John the Revelator. "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book." Worship God. Twice in the book of Revelation, twice to John the Revelator, the statement, "I am a fellow servant with you," to go out to propagate the gospel, to get the message of redemption to a world that needs him. Angels. We've been studying, for those that just were able to come in this morning, we have been studying this week together, angels. Let me quickly give you a synopsis of what I've said in about 90 seconds so you can get up to the same page we're on and we'll continue with our thought. Because I know we've got the smart ones here, and that's why I can do 3 days in 90 seconds. God created angels. When did he create them? Day one of creation, Genesis 1:1. Between the time he created the heavens and the time he created the earth, because Job chapter 38, verse 7 says, angels sang for joy when God created the earth. So they were there the time he created the earth, but he created angels. He had to create them, and he created between the heavens being created and the earth being created. They fell. There was the most beautiful of all the angels that led the fall of one-third of the angels. And we made a sanctified speculation that possibly there were 12 billion angels created. And the reason I came up with that number was because of the fact that half of the earth's total population from creation today is alive today. 6 billion people on the earth, probably 12 billion people will live on the earth before Christ comes back. And so if they do have, and I'm going to tell you about this in a moment, guardian angels, then I just suppose, sanctified speculation, don't go out of here and say Jiminy Young made an absolute statement. I'm not. Sanctified speculation that he probably created 12 billion angels. That means 4 billion come with Lucifer, who becomes Satan, meaning the adversary. He's thrown out of the third heaven where God the Father is to the first heaven with all of his fellow angels who become evil angels. And now, by the way, that took place after the sixth day of creation when God said everything I created is good, and before the fall of man. So between the time of Genesis 1:31 and Genesis 3:1, the fall of these angels took place. Then these fallen angels and the good angels in the heavenlies, at the command of God the Father, fallen angels in the first heaven, just above us, at the command of Satan, their leader, their controller, are now going to be dispatched to the world. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 10, they will be dispatched into and take over complete control or absolutely influence national leaders. If you've ever wondered why in the world it is political leaders make decisions like they do, you have a very definite answer to it in Daniel chapter 10 when he dispatches, Satan dispatches angels to control leaders of nations, leaders of localities, leaders of organizations and movements that are totally anti-God. He uses Gentiles to do that. He empowers Gentiles to have this evil approach to governing people or to propagating philosophies, whatever that may be. Then we see that after using the angels and actually using angels to demonize Gentiles, he goes to destroy the Jew. The Jew comes into existence. Satan knows that the Jew one day will bring the Messiah who can defeat him. The Bible tells us in Daniel 9, when that stone comes and crushes that last kingdom. I mean, there's so many other places we could talk about where Messiah, Jesus Christ, will defeat Satan, ultimately cast him into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And so Satan knows that, so he says, what I have to do is wipe out the Jew. Book of Esther is a perfect point of illustration where he endeavors to wipe out the Jew. Herod the Great, another perfect illustration of where he endeavors to wipe out the Messiah, killing every Jewish baby under 2 years of age around Jerusalem at the time of when the Christmas narrative took place. And so he demonized the Gentiles to destroy the Jew.
Thank you so very much for joining us as we have taken a look at the book. The subject, Angels and Prophecy. By the way, that's the title to my 5-hour audio series on CD that will help you understand the entire scope of angels as it relates to God's Word, and in particular, in Bible prophecy. If you'd like to have your copy of Angels and Prophecy, you can call our toll-free number and make your order. That toll-free number is in effect across America. The number is 877-674-3298. Or you can go to our website, prophecytoday.com, and order your copy of the 5-hour audio series on CD entitled Angels and Prophecy. Again, the number 877-674-3298, or go to our website at prophecytoday.com. I'm so grateful that you could join us as we've had time to study about angels and prophecy. And I'm convinced when you get the entire study and come to a conclusion of how angels will play a role in end-time prophecy, you'll agree with me. The return of the Lord with the rapture of the church is about to take place. In fact, at any moment. And having said that, there's nothing left for me to say except let's keep looking up until...